and blessing that God has allowed us to come together this morning as his people, that we might worship him in spirit and in truth. I hope you are glad to be here today. I hope you're glad to see each other here today. I want to think that we love each other. I want to think that we have great affection for each other and that we appreciate each other and that we miss each other when we are apart. It's certainly good for me to be here. We have so much for which to be thankful. Whenever you can get up out of bed in the morning, it's a blessing. Whenever you can put your feet on the floor and get ready for the day, it's a blessing. Whenever you look inside your pantry and see all kinds of canned goods and foods, that's a blessing. When you can look inside your refrigerator and see it packed with delightful goodies, that is a blessing indeed. When you can look inside your closet, and although you might not have the most expensive pieces of fashion, but if you have clothing that is comfortable and that is appropriate, that's a blessing. If you have an automobile with which to get from point A to point B and back in relative comfort, that's a blessing. If you have a reasonable portion of your health and strength, then that's a blessing. You know, you might not be feeling well, you might be sick, you might be under doctor's care, you might be taking special treatments, you might be popping prescription pills legitimately. But if you can be here this morning, that's a blessing. And we should thank God for it. We appreciate the fine way Brother Prowell led us in our singing. Appreciate the scripture lesson by Brother Daniel and Brother Triplett leading us in our prayer this morning. And we appreciate all of you for the participatory spirit with which we have engaged in worshiping God this morning. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Matthew 5 and just verse 41. We'd like to park right there. Matthew 5 and verse number 41. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain, or go with him the second mile or another mile. This illustration given by Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount in this verse needs an explanation because it is so closely connected to a culture far different from ours. The word compel is of Persian origin. Post offices were then unknown. In order that the royal commands might be delivered with safety and dispatch in different parts of the empire, Cyrus stationed horsemen at proper intervals on all the great public highways. One of those delivered the message to another, and intelligence was thus rapidly and safely communicated. These heralds were permitted to compel any person or to press into service any horse, ship, boat, or other vehicle they might need for the quick transmission of the king's commandments. It was this custom that our Savior refers to in this text. The custom had continued down through the ages. And in Christ's day, it was being used by the Romans. A Roman soldier had the prerogative of pressing into service anybody, especially the Jews. But any citizen could be commandeered and placed into service by a Roman soldier. And if I were a Roman soldier, I could say to Clifton Davis, okay, Clifton, from this point, I want you to carry my pack. I'm tired, and I've been traveling a long time, so I want you to carry my pack, son. Carry it for a mile. And that was the standard distance. And of course, knowing Clifton the way I know him, he wouldn't be too kindly disposed toward me if I made such a demand upon him. But by law, he could not refuse. By law, he would be under obligation to carry my pack for me for a mile. But now just imagine the kind of attitude Clifton would have. It would be something that would be done very grudgingly, something that would be done with a great deal of just a spirit of resentment. He would do it just because he had to do it. He would do just as much as he was obligated to do, and that is, he would carry it for the prescribed and mandated mile and would drop it down to there and stomp off, evidencing a spirit of disgust and resentment. But that wouldn't necessarily help his case any. He's upset, his blood pressure is high, he has gotten all bent out of shape. But Jesus says, if any man will compel you, if anyone will force you, if anyone would obligate you or make you go a mile, then go and mile. We want to talk to you about the second mile philosophy. Christ is saying that if a believer is forced to go a mile, he should go twice as far. Again, rights, even the rights of liberty, are not the primary concern of the believer. The believer's primary concern is people and their burdens, reaching and relieving their burdens in obedience to God. Going a second mile is difficult. It means a person does not become bitter and resentful, grumbling and griping, complaining and criticizing, self-pitying and begrudging. It means a person forgives someone in a Dodge Stratus maroon. You left your lights on. Your tag number is 493-BTY. 493-BTY. That's a Dodge Stratus. It's maroon. You left your lights on. We don't want your battery to be down after services are completed. So if you'll go and turn your lights off, we would appreciate it very much. The second mile philosophy means that one is willing to forgive and serve and offer more service. He sets his mind and his heart on reaching out to others and helping more and more, doing more than is required, doing more than is expected. That's the second mile philosophy. And I want to suggest to you that if all of us deliberately sought to develop to a greater degree the second mile philosophy in each of our lives, the work of the church could be advanced in a wonderful and magnificent way. You know, sometimes people espouse the 1 mile only attitude. As a matter of fact, that attitude characterizes most people most of the time. These people will do only what they have to do and not one thing more. It is a subtle kind of retaliatory attitude regarding some irksome duty. It is the attitude, for instance, of unions. And I know all unions are not bad, and you have good folks in unions, but some have negative 1 mile only attitudes, who will not do an extra minute's work without complaining or expecting extra pay. Yet, of course, they loaf on the job, take extra time off for lunch and for breaks, and cheat on the time clock. So many do not want to do anything extra, yet they expect extra time off, extra considerations, bonuses, and extra privileges. Christ attacks that attitude. It is all part of denouncing this attitude that insists on just doing the very least that will allow one to get by. I remember somebody years ago, a good friend of mine was saying, this lady in church, she said, "Brother preacher, how little," she was talking about financially contributing to the work of the church. She said, "Brother preacher, how little can I do or I give? How little can I give and still go to heaven?" You know, that's a most unfortunate spirit. That's a most unfortunate philosophy of life, wanting to know how little, what is the least one can do in order to accomplish a stated goal or achieve a desired objective. I guess one of the most beautiful demonstrations of the second mile philosophy is the illustration of the Israelites in Exodus 36. Exodus 36. The Bible says, verse number 2, "And Moses called Bezalel and Aholiab and every wise-hearted man in whose heart the Lord had put wisdom, even everyone whose heart stirred him up to come unto the work to do it. And they received of Moses all the offering which the children of Israel had brought for the work of the service of the sanctuary to make it withal. And they brought yet unto him free offerings every morning." And the Bible says, "And all the wise men that wrought all the work of the sanctuary came, every man from his work which they made, And they spake unto Moses, saying, the people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded to make. And Moses gave commandment, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, let neither man nor woman make any more work for the offering of the sanctuary. So the people were restrained from bringing. For the stuff they had was sufficient for all the work to make it, and too much. He's saying, you have brought too much. You have brought much more than enough. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Wouldn't it be wonderful if the contribution baskets were overflowing and folks were still wanting to give more? And Brother William and Brother Gerald had to say, hold up, that's enough. Yeah, that's enough. Y'all are giving too much. You have even exceeded the second mile and you're all over in the third mile. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? A wonderful thing indeed. Going the second mile, doing more than is expected, doing more than is required. In reality, that philosophy, the second mile philosophy, it operates or can operate in every area of life. That second mile philosophy can operate and should operate in marriage. You know, sometimes a wife might want to do just enough for her husband to get by. And she might do it grudgingly and of necessity. But when you are prepared for a romantic evening, don't just go the second or the first mile. Don't just do what is expected, but go the second mile. You know, take your good bag. Put on your very nice dress. Paint your toenails. Fix your hair real nice. And put on some nice perfume. You're going the second mile. You know, not just the first mile, but you're going farther than the first mile. You're going to go the second mile to make a real big impression on it. And husband, when you want to show your wife how special she is, you can go the second mile. Just one evening when you get home much earlier than she and you plan all of this, go ahead and clean the house up and make it real nice, and go to Kroger and buy some special steaks and buy some other things that you're going to prepare, and you prepare those yourself. Don your chef's apron. You can even put that little chef's cap on and set it to the side on top of your head. But the thing is, fix her one of the best meals that she will ever have had. And don't just fix her a good meal, but decorate the room and put a very nice, elegant tablecloth on the table. And get some nice candles and sit them there on the table and serve her when she comes in. Wait on her hand and foot. Go far beyond what would be expected or required. That's going the second mile. Wouldn't y'all appreciate that, ladies? Wouldn't y'all appreciate that? Surely you'd appreciate it. I saw this cartoon. One of my co-workers has it on her wall. And it's a picture of a lady lying in bed. And her husband has pushed her bed into the kitchen. And the caption says, I just wanted to make it possible for you to fix breakfast in bed. Now that's not very commendable. That's not very commendable. You know, you'd think he would have fixed breakfast for her. But there are so many ways by which we can go the second mile or to do more than is expected. When it comes to the work of the church, and when it comes to us functioning in the church, for instance, as a Bible school teacher, we should strive to go the second mile. Don't just study the lesson and read over the lesson, but master the lesson and do some additional research. Bring in some additional points to tie in with the major points of the lesson. Do more than is required. As a teacher in Bible school, let us not be content with just doing enough to get by. Let us put forth an extra effort in going the second mile. Young people in school, and I know y'all think I hop on this, but you're not going to be as successful in life as you otherwise could be if you will be satisfied with being a 1 mile only person. You know, some students in school, they just want to do enough to pass. They want to do enough to make a D or C. They are not willing to put forth the extra effort and to go the second mile so they can be A students. I was talking to Brother Calvin Murdoch, one of the leaders of the church in Marianna, Arkansas. He has a 11-year-old daughter, and he's teaching her and he's training her to live the second mile philosophy. Now, even at 11 years old, she's already reading at a 12th grade level, and she has knocked the top out of the tests, the standardized tests that they give periodically. And he says when she comes home with a 98, he commends her for it, but he encourages her to do even better than that 98. He encourages her to strive to do her very best and to go beyond the requirement, go beyond what is expected, do some extra stuff. Go the second mile in preparing for tests. Go the second mile, do more than is required. When you're writing a term paper or doing a science project or just getting out your homework from day to day, don't just do enough to get by. Do much more than is required. Longfellow said, heights by great men reached and kept were not attained by sudden flight, but they, while their companions slept, were toiling upward in the night. All right. Those folk were going the second mile while other folk were asleep. You can't be a pine on top of the hill, be a scrub in the valley, but be the best little scrub by the side of the wheel be a bush. If you can't be a tree, if you can't be a highway, just be a trail. If you can't be the sun, be a star. It isn't by size that you win or fail. Be the best of whatever you are. Go the second mile. God loves a cheerful giver. As a man purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity. For God loveth a cheerful giver. I believe that's 2 Corinthians 9, verse number 7. The second mile philosophy works on the job. If you want a promotion, if you want recognition, if you want an increase in pay, demonstrate the willingness to go the second mile. I heard of a man recently who was learning carpentry. And one evening, when they got off at 5, he stayed around. He talked to the boss. And he said to the boss, will you teach me how to hang rafters? And the boss said, yes, I'll teach you how to hang rafters. And so they stayed for about 4 extra hours, the boss teaching him how to hang rafters. When the other workers and him came back the next morning, and his co-workers saw those rafters already hung, they said, what happened? When did this happen? And the second miler said, I asked the boss to help me, to teach me how to hang rafters. And so he stayed over, and we worked for 4 extra hours last night in order to hang these rafters. I wanted to learn how to do it. And they said, you're going to get paid for this? He said, no. I said, I don't want no pay. He said, I just want to learn. And I'm told that later on, that man became the owner of the company. And that happened because he was one who exemplified the second mile philosophy in his life. All of us can do that. One final example then, the lesson is yours. An example with which all of us are already familiar. The story of the Good Samaritan. The story of the Good Samaritan. The Good Samaritan he did more than was expected. He did more than was required. He did more than just travel that first mile. He went the second mile. He stopped, rearranged his schedule. Y'all have heard that before. He rendered his service to the man who was in distress, put him on his own beast, took him to an inn. Can't you see him going the second mile? Spent the night with him and took care of him. On the next day, he paid the innkeeper. And he told him, any more that you spend, when I come back, I will repay you. Isn't that a wonderful example of living out the reality of the second mile concept in one's life? Will you become a second miler for the Lord? Will you do more than is necessary in order to support the work of the church? Will you do more than is necessary to facilitate your own spiritual growth and development? More studying, more praying, more sharing, more teaching, more giving, going beyond what is required, going beyond what you are obligated to do. When you go the second mile when it comes to forgiveness, you know, Jesus was a second mile Savior. God is a second mile God. Won't you be a second mile child of God? We talk about MREs. Those are minimum reality expectations. You know, that's the least one can do. But a second miler, he goes beyond the MRE, the minimum reality expectation. If you want to become a child of God today and become a second miler today, it's not a difficult thing to do. Through obedience to the gospel of Christ, it can be done. Jesus, when he came down to this low land of sorrow and tabernacled here for 33 years and gave himself in service to humanity, began to do and teach certain things, perform many mighty works, changed many lives, and eventually he died on the cross of Calvary for your sins and mine, making our salvation possible. He was buried in a borrowed tomb, arose from the grave triumphantly on the third day. That's good news, because he didn't do it for himself. He did it for us, for you and me. Believe that good news with all of your heart. Repent of your sins. Confess your faith and be baptized in water for the remission of your sins, and arise from that watery grave ready to live and ready to walk in the newness of life with the commitment to doing everything you can in order to demonstrate to the Lord how much you appreciate all that he has done for you. And you're not going to be limited by what is required. You're going to evidence a willingness to go beyond what is required, beyond that which you are obligated to do, beyond that which is expected. You're going to do all that is expected of you, and then some. If you're here today, you're already a Christian, but you have lapsed into a state of unfaithfulness, you can be restored and you can rededicate your life today through repentance, confession, and prayer. And we're going to ask you to come and take whatever corrective measures that are necessary to right your relationship with the Lord. Will you do it now, please?
Hark the gentle voice of Jesus falleth tenderly upon your ear. Sweet his cry of love and pity calleth. Turn and listen, stay and hear. Ye that labor and are heavy laden, lean upon your dear Lord's rest. Ye that labor and are heavy laden, come and I will give you rest. Take his yoke, for he is meek and lowly. Bear his burden to him. Turn, he who calleth is the Master holy. He will teach you. Ye that labor and are heavy laden, lean upon your dear Lord's breast. Ye that labor and are